In 2001, Hollywood came out with a movie calling, and they called it Enemies at the Gate. And it was a movie that predicted that six-month battle where so many people perished. And I want to tell you today, folks, that there is an enemy at the gate today. It may not be the Germans, hallelujah, please, I'm not your enemy, okay, just saying. It may not be the Russians. It may not be individuals, but there is an enemy that is pushing up against the gate, and he is ruthless. He is diabolical. He is devious. He is depraved, and we're going to talk about him today. Hallelujah. What a great way to open up this morning's service, huh? But I want to encourage you through the Word of God, even though this may not be the most encouraging portion of Scripture. We're looking at Jude. The book of Jude, it's the second last book in the Bible. So you jump to the book of Revelation, jump back one book, book of Jude, and it's only got one chapter, and we're going to read verses 3-7. So why don't you stand for the reading of God's word here this morning as we read Jude chapter 1, verses 3-7. You got your Bibles? You got your apps? Everybody's good? Here we go. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that has once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who do not keep their positions of authority, but abandon their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Father, we pray right now that this scripture that we read and that we're going to look into, Father, that it would encourage, it would help us to understand the importance of being watchful in our day and age, as Jude was saying back then. We ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we talked a little bit last week, and I want to talk, first of all, about the directives that we find in this portion of Scripture. Last week, we talked about the fact of who this guy Jude was. Remember, Jude was one of the brothers of Jesus, or a half-brother of Jesus. And his name actually means, it means praise. Praise, and he loved to bring the praise of Christ into the settings at that point in time. He wanted people to praise Jesus. He wanted people to understand that God had done a great deal for them. But in his desire to do that, there was also the requirements of bringing about some attention to some of the junk that was going on in that time. And you know, I got to tell you, I sort of sympathize with Jude a little bit. I don't like to talk about negative stuff. Anybody with me? I kind of like the positive more than the negative. I'd rather talk about praise and blessing and all that stuff. But there is a time that we have to talk about the negative, or we have to bring attention to something that needs to change. Have you ever, okay, this has happened to me, but have you ever talked to somebody and you noticed, embarrassing, their fly is down? You know what I'm talking about. And then it's that uncomfortable moment where you're going, what do I do? Do I tell them or do I just be quiet? Come on, you know you've been there. Okay, if you haven't, then you're amazing. But I've been there, and you see somebody, and or I've been there where somebody sneezed. I'm not going to say much more than that, but you know where I'm going. And contents of the sneeze may be someplace, okay? And so again, you got to sit there and think, what do I do? Do I keep my mouth shut or do I tell them? Can I just give you a word of encouragement? Tell them. Please tell them. If somebody's fly is down, it's not embarrassing if you say, hey, by the way, can you, whoop. I mean, just tell them. If it's me, please tell me. Because there's nothing worse than that you're walking around the rest of the day with your fly down or something on your shirt because you sneezed and nobody says anything. That's just wrong. There are times where we have to confront. Are you with me? There are some times that we have to point out things that we really don't want to point out. And this is where Jude was at. And he, I don't know if he really liked this task, but he was eager. It says here, I was very eager to write to you about the salvation that I want to share. See, I want you to know, he's saying, that we have a fantastic hope. We have a fantastic salvation. There's so much good in there. And I want to encourage you in that. But I also want you to be aware, is what he's saying, that people are trying to twist it. There's people that have come into the church at that time that are trying to manipulate others. They are called the apostates. They are the ones that at one time followed Jesus or one time followed God, and now they're going to do their own thing. And he's saying, listen, I got to point this out to you guys. You need to understand that these people need to be approached and they need to make, we need to make sure that they don't keep up what they're doing. He says here, I encourage you to contend for the faith. Contend or take earnestly. The term means to, the term is an interesting word, and I can't pronounce it. And I'm going to do that again because I got somebody to say it for me. Here, listen up. This is what the word is in Greek.
Epigenizome.
You got it? Can you say it? I can't either. That's why I got it up there on the speaker. But it means to earnestly contend. It's from this word that we get the word agonize. Agonize. It's a picture of an athlete that is working his very best to try to finish the race. He is straining his muscles. He's running as hard as he can or competing in the best way. He's agonizing in somehow, in some way, to finish what he started. And see, this is what God is saying to us. At times, we've got to agonize and keep going and don't give up and carry on, even though there is opposition against us. Are you following me? And what he is saying here is, folks, please contend, stay strong in your faith. Don't let evil lead you astray. Don't let people deceive you. They're in the church, he was saying to the people at that time. They're trying to bring you away. They're trying to manipulate. But he says, look, you've got to stand strong. One commentary that I read, it said this, you never fight the Lord's battle from a rocking chair or a soft bed. Right? Battle means you're fighting. And this is what he's talking about. So who is he talking about? Who are we fighting? What are the people that we need to be aware of? Well, first of all, he talks about the fact that there are the devious. The devious. And he says there are certain men whose condemnation was written about long time ago who have secretly slipped in among you. Secretly slipped in, like wolves in sheep's clothing. They kind of wandered in. They don't have a good intention, but they've come in there and they are trying to manipulate you and pull you away from the things of God. Let me tell you, there are people today that are like wolves in sheep's clothing. Not in here. Hallelujah. Right? Right? No, but there are people that will try to come in and deceive. And you know, there's ways that we can recognize the wolves. And let me give you a couple of ways that you can recognize the wolves. First of all, wolves seem sweet on the outside, but they will show you their teeth. You know what I'm talking about? They may look really, really nice. They may seem attractive the way they talk, the way they smile, the way they kind of butter you up and all that stuff. But there's something behind it. And if you got any sense of sixth sense, or if you got any connection with God, that which is probably much better than that, right? You're going to say, hey, this, I don't know, something not right about this. Can I encourage you, listen to that sixth sense, because it probably is, is right. A wolf will charm you at first. They'll talk to you, and they'll look like they're interested in what you got going. They want to hear about your life, and they want to hear about your experience, and they're going to ask you all sorts of stuff, and maybe go a little bit deeper, and maybe they'll be a little bit of manipulative in the things that they ask, but they're going to ask, and then many times they'll take that and they use that against us, don't they? Right? It's like an employee who chums up with you and is very sweet to you, but in the end they just want to give you their work. Right? So you got to watch out for people like that. Wolves, thirdly, are ones that play with your emotions. Don't you just love it when people try to give you a guilt trip? Right? No, you don't love it. I see the head shaking. No, I don't like it either, okay? But they try to give us a guilt trip, and they try to guilt. Well, come on. If you really loved me, then you would do such and such. I do that to my wife every time, once in a while. You know, then you go get me my dinner or something. Okay. I'm not talking about, well, maybe spouses, we got to be careful as well. But where people give us a guilt trip, I'm not a wolf. Just saying, okay? But be careful for those who play around with your emotions. You want to go on a vacation, and your boss go to your boss and say, listen, I want a week off. And the boss says to you, you know what? Really, you shouldn't be taking this time off. You should be, look at all the work that has to be done. And it leaves me in a bad situation. And by the way, the stat holiday, you know, a good employee would actually work on a stat holiday. It's not a good boss. Okay, just saying. If you got one like that, Pastor Les, I'm not like that, am I? I see Pat talking to him. I'm not like that, am I? Just checking. Wolf, number one, their stories are full of holes. You ever met somebody that they tell you a story and you go, I don't know about that. That doesn't line up with something else you said to me. They will kind of make it up on a fly. Watch out for people like that. Number five, they live to take power instead of empowering others. I've met people who are very, very much self-consumed, and they want you to do things for them all the time, which I'm okay to some extent, but there has got to be a point in time where a person says, no, you know what, I want to empower others as well. Be careful of people like this, because I can tell you something, they are going to sap your strength, and they made their way into the church, into the early church at that time. They were devious, and they really wanted to take people away again from the things of God, and it says here, they used the grace of God change it into a license for immorality. Listen, you know what? God loves you. You can do what you want, is their message. If God really loves you, man, like, seriously, like, if you get yourself involved in pornography, it's totally okay. Listen, go watch what you want. Go do whatever you want. These guys, they actually believed at that time that the body, it didn't matter what you did to the body, because it was all about the spirit. And so you can do whatever you want to your spirit, or to your body, I mean. And like, listen, go take drugs. Go get drunk. Go drink lots of coffee. It's all good. It's all the same. Maybe not so much, but that was their whole concept was to try to get people to do whatever they want. They were devious, and they try to draw people away from Jesus. Folks, we're here to empower. We're here to empower, not to draw people away. Be careful against these folks. And by the way, if any of this, and I'm not trying to point the finger at anybody, but if any of this is something that you're saying, you know, I've done that, can I encourage you to say, God, help me not to go there again, or not to go any further, to be upright in all you do. Second group of people he talks about, these are fun group, they're called, I call them the demons. Okay, seriously, here's what it says in verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their position of authority but abandoned their own home, those he kept in darkness, bound for everlasting chains. Sometime during the course of history, we're not sure exactly when, but sometime during the course of history, Satan rose up and he revolted against God. He said, I want it my way, and I'm going to do what I want. I don't have to listen to you. So, and away he went. Right? And we know the whole story. In Revelation chapter 12, it says that a third of the angels joined him in this revolt. And what happened was God said, you know what? There were a group of those angels or those demonic individuals or beings, he took and he bound in wherever he bound them. Okay? He bound them with everlasting chains. For judgment on the great day. And I'm not sure why he didn't bind them all. I wish he would have bound them all. Are you with me? I wish he would have taken all the demons, threw them in hell, and said, done with it. It would be an easier world. Just saying. But God, in his wisdom, he bound these ones. Maybe they had a higher authority. Maybe they had more influence. Maybe they could have caused a lot more damage if they were loosened. We don't know. Maybe they were those that were mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, where it says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. And it seems at some point here, what it seems is that there was a demonic presence that came upon individuals, or that these angels or demons came down, and they had relationships with the ladies back then. And from that, there grew a group of people known as the Nephilim. Now, we don't know how this all worked. We don't know what the whole situation is, but we do know. And listen, I want you to get this. We do know that demons are very real. Never underestimate the fact that there is a spiritual world, folks. And sometimes we shrug it off. I remember when I used to work in a group home, when I used to work with mentally challenged, and I know with many of them, it was a psychological, it was a mental thing. It was not much more than that. But there were occasional times where I said, man, that's more than just psychological. That's no more than just mental. There is a demonic thing happening right here. Be very alert. Be very alert. It tells us again, and we talked about this last time, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of wicked, of evil in this world. We are struggling against this, or should be. And if we're not, and if we're just kind of shrugging it off, be very careful, because the enemy is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he doesn't care what you think about him. He's just going to go on and do it. So, folks, can I encourage you? I don't see demons behind every lamppost, behind every couch. I don't believe that. But I do believe that there are demons around, and we need, as believers, to be very, very, very cautious and very prayed up. He talks about these demonic people that were in the church. He talked about the depraved. It says here, in the same way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality. There were no two cities in that time that were more depraved than these two. Israel was under condemnation in some ways because of these incredibly corrupt cities, the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah. They were perverse sexually. Actually, the implications from Scripture was that there wasn't a single person outside of Lot and his family that weren't perverse. They were all very, very perverse. And it says that they burned with lust for one another. They gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They completely surrendered to perversion. Now, there are times surrender is good, okay? There's times surrender is a positive thing. This is a heavy sermon, so I just wanted to stop for a little bit and show you sometimes when surrender is good. This is a good time for surrender. A little kitty that's, you know, and they put a blankie on him. Isn't that good? Or this is another good time for surrender, little chipmunk surrendering. He's surrendering. He's got his arms up. He's surrendering to the Lord. I love this one. This is a great picture. You may as well surrender the window seat, kid. I can do this all day with a dog pushing against the poor kid against the window. There are times when surrender is good, but not so in this time. It says they gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They completely surrendered. And it wasn't just homosexuality, though it was incredibly prevalent in that time and in that place. And it was a complete surrender to it. But there was perverted sexual activity, folks, that went beyond our human comprehension. It was evil. It was pure, pure evil. And see, here's the thing. If we don't guard our sexuality, if we don't guard against it, it will lead to some very corrupt things. I was thinking this week of this guy here. His name is, anybody know? Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was a multi-million millionaire who was a financier, and he bought himself this island in the Virgin Islands. Ironic, because this island was described as an island of sin. The locals called it Pedophile Island. And so what he would do, because he had the coin and nobody kind of could stop him, he would bring in all these underage young girls to this island and would do things that there's no way I would bring up here at this time. Twisted guy. And not just there, but in his home in Manhattan as well. The one thing I will say, which came up during my news feeds, and that's why I bring him up, was he built a shower for 10 people just so that they could have orgies in the shower. Well, he was finally captured August and then on August 10th, 2019, they found him dead in his cell. They say that he committed suicide. And before we look at Epstein or we look at these guys here in the book of Jude and we wag our finger at them, let's stop for just a minute, okay? Let's just stop for a minute and consider what do we allow these eyes to watch? What do we allow these ears to hear? What do we allow this mind to think of? Because if you're anything like me, I have thought things that I wish I would have never thought. I have seen things that I wish I had never seen or heard things that I wish I had never heard. And this is where we as believers, we need to guard. We need to guard our lives against impurity and immorality. Folks, it is something that will absolutely consume us and destroy us. In the case here where Jude is talking about the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, it so consumed that city that it wasn't just about sexuality. It consumed even the way they treated people that needed help and their way of caring for those within their community. Ezekiel chapter 16 tells us that the sin of Sodom and her daughter were arrogant, they were overfed, they were unconcerned, they did not help the poor or needy, they were haughty and did detestable things before me. These guys were so consumed on themselves that they didn't give a rip about anybody else. They didn't care how their arrogance would affect others. It was about me, all about me. How can I get more? How can I enjoy more? How can I live my full life and just be as fun and love fun as much as possible? You know, it's interesting. There are places today in this world where you can go for a vacation. One is called hedonism. Did you know that? There is a place that's called hedonism that you can go and enjoy a vacation. Won't tell you what happens at that place. But they cared just for themselves. And so what does Ezekiel say? Therefore, I did away with them as you have seen. In the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed by fire. God says, no more, I'm done. And he got rid of them. In the case of Epstein, we know that he died. They say by suicide, though some question that. In the case here in Jude, it says they were destroyed by fire. Now, why do I tell you all this stuff? It's this. Folks, the enemy will use and has used sexual immorality and impurity and all that more so than any other weapon. He has been very, very, very good at using that one. And let me just say, sex is a good thing when it's done in a proper context, when it's done with a man and a woman in a confine of a marriage. That's a good thing. That's God's way. Anything else outside of that, according to Scripture, is sin. And so it's a good thing, and we produce wonderful children. I got one of them there sleeping right now. And so we God does good things through it. But if it is used in a perverse way, we need to beware. Can I encourage you? Can we pray that God protects especially this generation? Can we pray that God protects us? That God helps us to watch what comes into our lives? Okay. Real heavy stuff, real heavy stuff. Let's end by talking about something positive. Let's end by talking about, we talked about the enemy, he's at the gate, he's pushing, he's gone, he's coming against us with the deviant, he's coming against us with the demonic, he's coming against us with perversion, but there is a positive thing, there is deliverance. Here's what it says in verse 5. Therefore, you already know all this. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt. Now, Egypt wasn't a fun place to be in. They spent 430 years in this place, 430 years without a day off. That's a long time, right? Working probably 12 hours a day. It was not a fun time in Egypt. And they were crying out to God, and God says, you know what, I hear you. And he brought about deliverance, and he brought them out of this place, and he brought them into the promised land. Praise the Lord for that. See, sometimes the situations you face may not be all that fun. There may be difficulties, there may be opposition, there may be frustrations, but can I tell you, God still is in the business of deliverance. He's still in the business of bringing us out of those difficult times. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. He says, we were under pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. This is not a pleasant time for Paul. It says, beyond what even we could bear. God, I don't know how am I ever going to get through this. How am I going to make it? And Paul was in this incredible place of opposition, and he needed some help. And I loved what it says in the next part. But this happened that we might not rely on what? Ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He says, you know what? God came through. We relied on him, and he raised us up. He raised up the dead, but he raised us up. He gave us strength. He helped us to carry on. And you know what? God wants to do that for us as well. Even though the enemy might be right at your front door, he may be banging on your life and trying to bring you discouragement. Can I encourage you? Do not be afraid. Stand strong. God has deliverance for you, and he's got a hope for you and I. We need to trust him all the way. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, Paul says, that he will continue to deliver us. That's a good verse. That's a good verse. And that's one that you should be underlining in your Bible or highlighting on your phone or whatever you use. Folks, here's the challenge for us today. And we talked about this in pre-service prayer. The challenge is that fear has so gripped people that we are not able to function effectively. Now, let me say, I'm going to talk about the corona in just a second, COVID-19 virus in just a second. But let me just bring something to your attention. My wife sent this to me, and I thought this is really, really good. Back in 2000, we were told that the Y2K is going to destroy everything. In 2001, anthrax is going to kill us all. 2002, West Nile virus, we're dead. 2003, SARS, we're gone. 2005, it was the bird flu, everybody's going to die. 2006, E. coli is going to kill us all. 2008, the financial collapse is going to kill us all. 2009, swine flu is going to kill all of us. Do you notice a pattern here? Just saying. Let's keep going. 2012, remember the Mayan calendar? Remember that? We were all going to die in 2012. And they even made a movie of it, right? 2013, North Korea is going to cause World War III. 2014, Ebola virus is going to kill every one of us. 2015, ISIS is going to kill us all. 2016, the Zika virus. I can't even remember that one. All I know is that when I was reading this for 2016, they said when Trump came into power 2016, that's it, the world's over, right? 2020, here we are. The coronavirus, is it going to kill us all? And I love what they put at the end. The truth is fear is killing us. Turn off the TV, pray, trust God, and wash your hands. Amen? Amen. So let's make this practical, just so you know that I'm taking this thing serious. We did the elbow greeting and the foot greeting or whatever, however you want to do it. Wash your hands. That's what the doctors are saying. Wash your hands, Dr. Eva, right? Wash your hands. Secondly, we've got a little thing at the very entrance there, which is a hand sanitizer. Use it, okay? We're going to install a few others. If you're sick, Dr. Eva, we don't come to church, right? Right? That's, you know, it's probably good. There's a lot of sick people here this morning. I can see that. Or maybe a lot of people didn't turn the clocks back. But don't come to church. Be wise. Be wise is what I'm saying. Don't panic. Don't panic. Okay? Yes, this thing is in our world, but so are all the other things. And we will get over it. There is deliverance. There is deliverance for us as we trust in the Lord. And it's interesting because here in Jude it says, those that didn't believe and didn't trust, later they were destroyed because they did not believe. Keep your faith in God. Keep your faith in God. He is bigger. He is greater. Yes, there are enemies at the gate. Yes, there is a lot of things that we've got to be aware of. But can I encourage you in closing here this morning? I'm going to call up the team here, if they could please come up at this time. Can I encourage you in closing that we have a big God? And when these different things come against us, and we talked about all these different enemies, know that God can sustain us. God can stand with us. God can encourage us. God can empower us. God can give us wisdom. And how we can take a stand when the deviant come against us or the demonic and all that. You don't have to be afraid ahead of time. What am I going to do if I meet a demon? Ah! You know what? Why worry? Just keep your life right with God. Keep your life right with God. Father, I pray today for your people. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would be wise, of course, in the way we act and the way we deal with some of these things that we talked about here this morning. Let us use wisdom. But Father, I pray in all of it, help us to realize you love us and our responsibility is to love as well. So Father, when we run into situations and circumstances that bring fear, help us to trust you and to continue to love you and not to run in fear. Help us, God, if there are people that come into our lives that may be demonic or diabolical or whatever else it may be. Father, help us to see the individual. Help us to pray against the spirit that's behind them and behind that attitude. But help us to see the individual as you see them, as a person that you love, that Christ died for, and that you want to see in eternity. And so, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray, Father, regarding this COVID-19 virus. I pray, Lord, for those that have contracted it, that they would experience your healing touch in their life, that you would raise them up once again. Father, that they would be able to overcome this. I thank you for the doctors and around the world that are doing their best to try to find a remedy to this. Give them wisdom, Lord. And I pray for a quick discovery of that which will kill this thing. But Lord, please protect these people. Please encourage them. And Father, in Jesus' name, help us as your people not to be afraid, but to stand with truth, to stand with wisdom, and to stand with boldness, knowing, Lord Jesus, that we are in your care. And as was read this morning from Psalm 91, though 10,000 will fall at our side, yet we will stand. So we pray that we would be exactly that, those that would take a stand for righteousness. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Why don't we stand together as we sing a closing song?